Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the first chapter of Mark. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8, and if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, find it on page 1551. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
I want to say thank you to so many of you who have been helpful and instrumental in getting us here. The elders, thank you, elders. Thank you, staff. I had a great time meeting with the staff this week. What a high quality group you have serving among you. I need to just mention a little housekeeping. Right after this meeting, just about a minute after we do the benediction, we need to do a little housekeeping. We're going to have a congregational meeting, and it should last about 2 minutes. I've actually done congregational meetings, and I have them down to 75 seconds. I mean, it's just whammo. It'll be quick. If you're a visitor, I encourage you to stay so you can see how we do business around here. We're going to elect, I think, an elder and some nominating people. It'll be very quick, very short. Well, I hope you do have your Bibles. Please bring your Bibles each week. If you don't have one, please grab that pew Bible in front of you and turn to page 1551. What I do, like I said last week, is that I have, I don't have my paper today, but I have the Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other hand. And we take the scriptures that are in front of us that we have, and we understand them as best we can, and then we apply them to what's going on around us here today. Well, so it starts off, the book of Mark. It was probably, the scholars say, it was probably the first of the four gospels that was written. And I like the book of Mark because it is the it is the John Wayne version. It is the Tom Cruise version of the Gospels. It talks about the action, the movement, the miracles, the things that Jesus does. You'll see a phrase in here periodically that says, and Jesus did this, and straight away, using an English word, it would seem, straight away he would go off to another place and do another miracle. I like that kind of Jesus. It fits my ADD. You know, I'm focused on one thing, and then with very little transition, I can be doing something else. Well, it starts off, as was read to us, and it said, in the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it was written by a prophet that the prophet Isaiah was told by God that someone was going to be sent to prepare the way of the Messiah. There would be a forerunner. There would be an advanced man who would come and sort of draw the draw the big broad strokes of the Messiah who would be coming. And these people, the Israelis at this time, were looking for a Messiah. They had an oppressive government that was like having a boot, a Roman boot on the neck of the people. You and I do not live with much oppression. There are pressures on us for sure, but not like what I see when I go to these other countries, and there truly is threatening, malicious works of the government being cruel to the people. And the people suffer greatly. And if it were not for the church in those places, these would be people who would live in total hopeless despair. But it's the church. I want to tell you something about the church. I believe that the church is the last great hope of the world. Now, we have wonderful institutions in our society. They are in a process of being, it seems, sociologically speaking, there is a deconstruction movement to try to tear down educational institutions, political institutions, the media, journalists, the military, all sorts of things that have served us well in the past are now being shown for their failures, their corruption, their weaknesses. And indeed, that even applies to the church. I told you last week that in terms of the corrosive forces on the Presbyterian Church, and I just see it happen all the time. Even so, I have seen in other countries that the church is the last great hope of the world. And that is true for even our society. I'm doing research on a question that began a couple, 3 years ago in Hayward. I was pastor of the Hayward Presbyterian Church. And it's a good-sized church. It has a budget of $2.5 million. And my office was situated by the corner of two main thoroughfares. And about every half hour, 45 minutes, you would hear a patrol unit going by, code 3, sirens on, lights on, going to some emergency. And the question began to emerge to me, does this church, that one, Hayward First Presbyterian Church, does it make a difference on the level of crime in our area? Let me repeat the question. Does the church make a difference on the level of crime in our neighborhood? I think that's a pretty good question. I did some research. No one has ever asked the question before. I went to the sheriff of Alameda County, Greg Ahern, and I just ran the question by him. He said, well, I have an opinion, but let me give to you my chief crime analyst. And let's find out the question. Let's find out the answer. Well, I don't have time to tell you the answer. I will, in time, show it to you. It proved to me that the church indeed is the last great hope of the world. Do you know what the best crime-fighting tool is for Concord police? It's the church. And I'll prove it to you. You'll see it with your own eyes, but not today. By the way, I need for you to come every week. If you have a pulse and not a virus, we expect you to be here, because it's my job It's my job to prepare you. It's my job to train. And today I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit. In verse 1, it talks about Jesus coming, and that it was written that the prophet Isaiah was told that a messenger would be sent who will prepare the way. A voice in the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths of him. By the way, that's partly my role as an interim pastor, is to help prepare for the permanent one who will come, you know, somewhere down the road. And so we're going to be going through a process of preparing for the next pastor that comes. In verse 4, it says, so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, as a preacher, if we had a marquee out front, I don't think we do. We don't. Okay. If we put a banner out front that said, Pastor Toby is going to be talking about repentance on Sunday morning, do you think that would draw too many people? Repentance is not one of those subjects that's woohoo, boy, I got to go hear that. But that was his message. And somehow or another, look what happens. Verse 5, the whole Judean countryside and all the people in Jerusalem went out to him. What are they thinking? What's going on? What is it about the message of repentance that is compelling to these people that they've got to go? And look what happens when they go. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Verse 6. John wore clothing made of camel's hair. Now this, folks, this is not cashmere. This would be like, the only comparison I have is that it would be like having a garment made of Brillo. You know, like Brillo pads? I mean, it's rough. It is coarse. And then it's not loose, you know, so that it would only hang on portions of the body. Look what it says. Verse 6. John was had clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. I mean, this is... Okay. So here's what's going through my mind as I look at the passage. Is he wearing this as a freak show? You know, dressing up like some clown or something to show what kind of a tough guy he was? Quite frankly, I don't know. It doesn't say. It's a speculation. I can tell you this. I don't believe he is married. I mean, my wife wouldn't let me out of the house with... I don't have my wife here today. She's still back home. But I need people on Sunday morning just to inspect how I look. Make sure my tie's on right, the things are buttoned down, and I'm tucked in. I'm really quite oblivious to those kind of things. And so if you spot something out of order or something that would make me look nicer, please tell me. In my last church, I walked into the service with my zipper down. Now, I'm not a pervert, I'm just oblivious to those kind of things. And so as one of my elders said, Pastor Toby, your zipper's down. And sure enough, I don't know why I told you that, other than I need help. When my wife is not here, you step in and make sure I'm in good order here. Okay, so he had this leather belt, and here's why I know he wasn't married. It says he ate locusts. Now, have any of you ever eaten locusts, even sugar-coated? I mean, chocolate, you've eaten locusts. What's a, imagine it's crunchy.
Kind of like
well, there's a recommendation. It's kind of like potato chips. Well, okay. He ate these locusts and wild honey. And verse 7, and this was his message. Okay, folks, this was his message. I want to tell you something. God has given you a message. God has given me a message. And I'll tell you more about it as time goes by. I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I know God as a rescuer. Now, in all likelihood, you know God using other words. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to tell all of us in one word what part of God do you know in your knower? What part of God, what facet of God? And there are hundreds of facets of God. But what part of God do you know? Okay, my word is rescuer. God has rescued me in at least a dozen situations where I should have been killed. And miraculously, God didn't. God prevented that from happening. I've got to move on here very quickly. I want to teach you about this Holy Spirit. And in your bulletin are some funny looking letters. Take a look at this. This is the word for spirit in the ancient Hebrew. Now for us pastors, when we went to seminary, we had to learn Greek and what's called modern Hebrew. By the fact that it's called modern Hebrew, it means that there was an ancient or a preceding kind of Hebrew. And the books of the first five books of Moses were written in ancient Hebrew. The ancient Hebrew is a pictograph language where the letters help define the word. Now, if we don't get PowerPoint in this place, I'll bring it on a whiteboard. I have a whiteboard that I use sometimes. And I would draw it, just kind of picture this. I would draw the word God, G-O-D. Now, is there anything about those letters that help define what the word means? Say no.
No.
It's not a trick question. Our letters do not help define the word. In the ancient Hebrew, the letters would define the word. Okay? So these are the letters, what they look like in the ancient Hebrew. The first letter, and in English it goes from left to right, in Hebrew it goes from right to left, and there are some real advantages to that, but the first letter looks like a backwards P. Do you see that? Okay. When I was teaching this, when I was the pastor of the Mojave Indian tribe, I showed this to them, and they said, oh, that's our totem pole. That's the top face on the pole, the chief face, the most honored person. And what this is suggesting is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person. And this person is also personable. This person knows you, knows me. And this person is someone that you and I can know. My early vision of the Holy Spirit, I have to tell you, was, you remember the cartoon character Casper, the friendly ghost. Okay, that was my early vision of what the Holy Spirit looked like. I mean, I didn't know any better. Now, this is someone who is a person. Not just any person. The scriptures refer to this as the third person of the Trinity. And I know a couple of things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the shyest of the three persons of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, my opinion is that the Holy Spirit is really quite shy. Please look at me here. Let's say that this pulpit here is Jesus. In terms of what the Holy Spirit does, and let's pretend now that I am the Holy Spirit, this is how the Holy Spirit behaves. Do you see this? Okay. Me being the Holy Spirit, this pulpit being Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always referring to Jesus, always pointing to Jesus, and then sort of ducking away. Okay? Isn't that interesting? As you look at the scriptures and you see the Holy Spirit, you'll see that the Holy Spirit is rather shy, except at Pentecost. That's one of the few rare exceptions where the Holy Spirit then comes across with gangbusters. And what happened to your flame? Somehow or another, and we don't know quite what happened there on Pentecost, but something like tongues of fire came upon the disciples who were there praying in obedience to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came to the church and they saw that this Holy Spirit, this shy person of the Trinity, was going to give birth to this body of Christ. Okay, the second letter there, and I have to close, I have to finish up here. The second letter is a nail. Now, a nail, it would be a conjunction. It's an and. It's going to draw two thoughts together. It's as if I had a, let's see, okay, I've got a pen here. It's as if I wanted to draw two thoughts together and I put a nail in to do that and to bind them together. And so we find that the Holy Spirit is a person, and this last letter is, would become our letter H eventually. And you go to third world countries and you still see this construction. These are two upright sticks, 3, 4, 5 feet high, drawn together at the top with string twine to bring them together, and then a stay, a board in between to press them apart. And it would create something quite rigid. Okay, you put a bunch of these upright stays, string them together, put a board in between, and you can build a pen as big as you want. And it's flexible, movable, it's quite rigid, and it will keep inside what is meant to be inside, like sheep, for example. And it will keep predators outside, because what they often do is then put thorny brush outside the fence. Okay, so here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is personal, and then this last letter is a symbol of the fence, and it means that the Holy Spirit is going to protect you and me. You and me inside the fence. Now you look at this in terms of your life. There have been times, those of you who are followers of Jesus, when you have, in the rear view mirror, You're looking back and you can see the twists and the turns of your life. You can see the traps, the hazards, the pitfalls, the times when you made mistakes, the things when things terribly went wrong that happened to you. Maybe it was your mistake, your choice. Maybe it was the evil action of someone else. In any case, you found that the Holy Spirit protected you and got you through that deal. And you're here today as proof of the Holy Spirit protecting you. This word is pronounced in Presbyterian English. It is pronounced ruach. Let me tell you what it sounds like in Hebrew. Prepare yourselves here. It's pronounced ruach. Ruach. Very guttural. Full lunged. What happens is, in my mind, is that that name sounds like a Star Wars Klingon warrior who is fierce, who is nobody to be messed with. Jesus would concur. He said towards the end of his ministry, he said, you know, you can sin against me all you want. I'll get it fixed on the cross. I'll take care of your sins. You sin against the Holy Spirit, and I can't help you. You're just going to hell. You sin, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're done. You're out of here. You're on your own. Kiss your life goodbye. Because Ruach is the third person of the Trinity. No one to be messed with. And so today we have assembled as the body of Christ to give honor to this third person of the Trinity. Shy by nature, but no one to be messed with. And so Holy Spirit, and I close with this, Holy Spirit, as pastor, I give this congregation to you. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Have your way starting with me. During this season that I'm with you, the Holy Spirit is going to be preparing us for the future of this church. And by the way, I believe, you want to know my opinion of this church so far? Say yes. Come on, work with me, Presbyterians. I believe that the best is yet to come. I do not believe that we will go back to the golden years. I would say God forbid. I would say that the Holy Spirit has a brand new future for us and that the best is yet to come. And that you are going to be a part of it, and I need for you to be here on Sunday mornings. I need for you to go through this process of allowing the Holy Spirit, as in today's lesson, give you and me a life message, which I didn't have time to get into today, but we will learn about. I need for you to be here. Would you go down the road with me? I'm going to go down the road with you, and you can expect me to be at my very best, to be wholehearted. I'm going to submit to an ever greater level in my own life for the Holy Spirit to work through me. And I want us to go down the road together. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we honor you. These precious people who have been in the congregation for years and decades and multiple decades. These followers of Christ, Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would be both personal to us as a body of Christ, to us individually, that you would protect us, that you would prepare us, that you would give us a message that we can have for this culture, this society, this community that is around us, because we are the last great hope of the world. Now, Lord, Holy Spirit, you do your work among us. We are here. We submit to you. Breathe on us. Bring us into your presence. Give us new hearts that will make us whole, that will heal us. Give us faith. Give us passion. Lord, Lord, be that third person that we will both fear and love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's close our service as we stand and sing, Holy Spirit.